We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr, touchdown, Detroit Lions. TJ Hawkins, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
All right, guys, welcome back to Spotify Green Room live show, Lions Vikings post game. We are here on Spotify Green Room. Like I said, this is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, Pierre, Malcolm. How y'all doing right now?
I thought we were going to get our asses kicked today, but they competed. Just that last play, man, it hurts.
Yep. Malcolm, how you doing, man?
let me just tell you, when that final field goal happened, I just laughed. That's how I felt. I just laughed. It was like, oh, you know, here we go again, and same shit.
Dude, this is a team that's not supposed to have expectations, and they don't. No. But, this is a team that's not supposed to make us frustrated, but at the same time, they still find a way to make me disappointed on Sundays. I'm not even disappointed. I'm just like that. Like, that's the ending.
Honestly, man, they should have two wins right now, but I don't know,
man. Like, I know we were not expected to win this game. We were shitting on the Lions this whole week. But at the end of the day, they came up with the lead with 30-some seconds left in the game, down or up by one, and they had a legitimate shot of winning this game. And it legitimately felt like we were going to win this game. But that's the ending of the game. Once again, man. Can't they make a rebuilding team just have the losses be easier? I don't know. But I don't even know what to say. But let's talk about the coaching staff. Let's talk about Dan Campbell. I'm going to kick it off to you, Malcolm. What was your thoughts on Dan Campbell's game plan? Oh, Malcolm just got kicked out. Okay, well, I guess I'll kick it off to you, Pierre. So you see with Dan Campbell, what's your thoughts on Dan Campbell today, man? I thought it was his best coach game overall.
I like what he did today. I know a lot of people were mad that he didn't go for it on that 4th-and-2, but the Lions clearly didn't trust Goff there because every pass was behind the first down markers. They never threw a pass for his number. They just did quick slants, quick passes. They don't trust Goff right now. It's pretty obvious. So I thought you punt it, let Jack Fox pin him down. Unfortunately, he got the touchback, but then it worked in the Lions' favor. They come back, they get a touchdown score too. And then that last play, though, it bit them versus the Ravens, and it bit them again. I want that play kind of removed from the playbook. They just can't. They need pressure. You need to send 4 or 5. Don't send 3 and play prevent.
Yeah.
That That bit him in the ass with Baltimore and bit him in the ass today.
Yeah. No, but overall, you know, the two-point conversion, let's go back there. I was an advocate of kicking the extra point.
No, I wanted the two because, you know, your secondary, you got Jerry Jacobs, he's hurt. Bobby Price is in there, right? You go for two. You try to win the game. I love that. Whether you get it or not, whatever. If you get it, you look good. If not, then you move on.
I mean, it worked. So Dan Campbell's going to get the praise. But I mean, man, that was aggressive. It worked out. It looked like the Lions were going to win after that. But, I mean, that was a very risky call. Dan Campbell, I mean, I understand it. You're down. I mean, you're 0-4 team at the time. You don't have expectations to win many games this year. He tried to win a game on the road. Would I have done it personally? I wouldn't have done it personally. But, I mean, I can't fault it because it worked. But, man, I mean, it's crazy because then on the 4th-and-2, which I was an advocate of punting the ball, I thought that was a fine decision. But then they put the game on Jared Goff's arm to get the 2-point conversion, which, you know, I mean, it only took 5 attempts to score points when the defense has kept, you know, giving stops. But for Dan Campbell to put his cojones and Jared Goff on that 2-point conversion, that was big time stuff right there. Malcolm, what's your thoughts on Dan Campbell and his, you know, how he coached the game today?
Much, much better than he did last week. I'll say that. I'll definitely say that. Much better. He was decide. You know, football is a game of chess. Sometimes you got to play chess and not just be too aggressive. Sometimes too aggressive. And we saw today he was punting. He actually punted the ball. He actually played a field position. And look, we had a shot to win the game at the end. I liked it. Even when you talk about the 2-point conversion, that's another one of those plays. Like I said last week, that's like a damn if you do, damn if you don't. You know, if they would have failed it, mm-hmm. a lot of people would be like, oh shit, he should have kicked the two. I mean, he should have kicked the extra point so to tie it up. You know, but he made it. Now everybody's like, oh wow, you know, he was a little aggressive. He went for the win, and they came short, but they got at that point. So. I like the play calling. Except,
what's your thoughts on that? What's your thoughts on that 2-point conversion? Did you agree with it at the time? I know, obviously, you know the play. They scored it, but did you agree with the 2-point conversion?
I did not. I wouldn't have been mad either way. I honestly feel like if they would have went for, you know, the tie, I think Minnesota would have been less likely to try to force a field goal. They probably would have just said, "Look, just go in overtime, try to win." And I think we probably wouldn't have to play prevent defense. I don't know. I'm kind of with Pierre on that. I don't agree with it the whole time. I get it if you want to do it on 4th-and-26 or 3rd-and-26 and it's a final play. When you're playing it on 1st-down, 2nd-down, 3rd-down, that's, you know, it's kind of, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with that. You know, but this team, this coaches staff, they're good at adjusting. So hopefully they look back at this and say, look, this is the second time we did this shit and it didn't work. How about we just continue to do what we were doing the whole game instead of try to convert into that the very last play and then it's failing on us.
Yeah, and then Malcolm, yeah, like, I mean, to get into that, last week Aaron Glenn said – oh, my bad. Last week Aaron Glenn said, like, he'll call that play over and over again, and Campbell said too. I think now they have to look into that. And maybe not call that play because it's bit him in the ass twice. Even like Campbell, he said he likes going on 4th-and-down. Then last week, he's like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't be as aggressive. And he changed that up today. So I think that prevent play needs to be sort of like, not taken out of the playbook, but don't call it as much. Bit him, bro. You got these young corners. I think pressure is more important right now than coverage. If they could get the pressure there,
it's for touchdowns.
Yeah.
If you're trying to stop a touchdown, it's different. The prevent defense is necessary. But, like, when you're just – I mean, when they're playing for a field goal and you're giving them yards, it's a whole different story to me. It makes it hard to finally hit a field goal for a game.
I mean –
right now. But that's my point, though. It's like if you're going to call the prevent defense, I think it's only necessary and appropriate if, it, like, you're trying to avoid a touchdown because that makes sense.
I agree with just that.
Don't let anything in the end zone. But when a team is playing for a field goal – and you're giving them as many, not as many yards, but you're giving them a lot of yards, you know, it's a lot more risky. So, I don't know. It was a flawed field goal. I mean,
like, you're giving Kirk Cousins all day to scan the field with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen playing against undrafted guys. You know, like,
yeah.
Help your defense mm-hmm. out. Put pressure, because they were pressuring the quarterback today. Charles Harris got some pressure. I think Levi got some pressure.
Yeah.
Yep. Aleem McNeil, Trey Flowers.
Trey Flowers a little bit.
They were affecting the quarterback a little. So blitz, or the previous play, they blitzed Anzalone, and then Will Harris made a really nice tackle. Then the next play, they decided to rush three and go prevent.
Yeah. No. I don't know. It was just – I mean, overall, the defensive game plan was phenomenal.
It was. Aaron Glenn was the next playing.
I didn't think they had much of a chance coming into the game plan. I thought they'd give a million points up to the Minnesota Vikings, but you know they were okay giving up some yardage to Alexander Mattison, because Alexander Mattison did his work. But the second half adjustments of what they did on defense was phenomenal on every phase, stopping Justin Jefferson, getting Alexander Mattison not as much involved. They did a phenomenal job. I mean, they started to double team a little more Justin Jefferson that second half, and you know, he was still a factor, but not as much of a factor as he was in that first half. So, you know, that Lions defense overall, first half and second half, they gave Jared Goff and that Lions offense five attempts with 0 points. I'm telling you, if you have a good quarterback, I know Jared Goff made the, you know, he got the touchdown at the end and got the 2-point conversion, but he was fucking terrible today.
He was.
He was terrible today.
Yeah, he was bad.
The defense gave him 5 attempts to score some points. They got 0 in those 5 attempts.
I believe he had 2 turnovers in the red zone again, so not good.
Yeah, the offense in general just needed to be better. Starts with the quarterback.
Yeah.
Definitely starts with the quarterback. Yeah. But we just can't rely on our defense to keep us in games like this. We gotta be able to, and I know coming into the season, we didn't have much expectation as far as talent on our offense, but they got to be better, man. We have some type of weapons, and they need to do a better job of getting these guys open in space and getting them the ball. Swift, TJ. Like, I know TJ's being doubled, but you got to find a way to utilize him in some type of way. What do you have? Three catches today? Two catches today? What do you have?
He had like one catch for most of the game. I think it might have just been that one catch.
Like, you can't have that.
But,
like, I get it. He's doubled. But you got to find a way to get him, you know, move him around. Maybe put him out wide. Put him in the slot. You got to do something. You can't, like, Anthony Lynn, like, come on, man. Like, you got to get your playmakers involved, man.
Oh, I didn't think injury Anthony update Lynn from Dan Campbell. With Quintez Cephas, shoulder doesn't look good. Called it a clavicle. So he's probably going to be out. He's going to miss some time.
Okay.
Well, here we go. Another play. Is it, like, every week, are we going to put a person on IR? Is that what's going to happen this year?
Okay. But I would say something Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn that I was impressed with was the run game. He stuck to his guns this week. They stuck to the run for most of the game. They didn't really abandon it. And the Lions defense gave them the opportunity to stick to that run game. But, you know, it was keeping more Jamal Williams in there, using Swift. I like that he used both his running backs appropriate this week, where Jamal Williams was the hot hand last week. And they, like Dan Campbell said, and the thing they said on the broadcast too, is that he even admitted that they abandoned Jamal Williams a little too early in that game. And this week they didn't do that. They stuck to both Jamal and they stuck to DeAndre Swift and they stuck to the game plan. And, you know, I thought overall the run game wasn't great, but I thought it kept them honest. They had some solid runs and mixed in there. So, you know, as far as the run game, it was there. But, you know, Jared Goff, I think, is just holding back this offense so much it is. I can't even blame Anthony Lynn as much as the quarterback myself.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about as far as, like, getting the offense rolling, I mean, like, getting, like, Swift involved in the pass game as well. Like, we're not seeing much of Swift in the passing game. We're not seeing TJ being targeted as much. And maybe it is Goff. You know, Goff had he didn't have his best game. And this is probably one of his worst.
It's terrible.
One of his worst games as a line. Probably, is it? Yeah, it was bad.
It is his worst game as a line.
We talked about him being average, bro. Terrible, like, he hasn't even been average these past couple weeks. He's been awful.
No.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's terrible, dude. He's actually terrible.
He's bad. I mean,
his decision-making is supposed to be smart. That's like supposed to be one of his things. Like, he's going to make the smart throws. He's not even doing that anymore because he had a terrible interception to Eric Kendricks. And then that one play, the bootleg, trying to hit Khalif Raymond in double coverage. It should have been picked off as well by Harrison Smith.
Yeah, that was a bad throw. You don't throw a jump ball to a 5'9 receiver in double coverage. That was stupid.
With one of the best safeties in coverage, Harrison right. Smith.
I mean,
it's tough.
Yeah, he's terrible, dude. I mean, they have to move off of him eventually.
Yeah, I just don't know how you replace him because there isn't that a like.
Not right now. I mean, obviously we're stuck with him for this season, right? But like, if people had any optimism of Jared Goff being the franchise quarterback,
he's not.
Yeah. I think there should not be a single soul that believes that anymore. A single soul should not believe in Jared Goff being a franchise quarterback anymore.
No. I mean, I was like, you know, let's give him a chance. He hasn't proven.
He got his chance.
He had his chance. I mean, there's still a long season. Who knows? Maybe he could catch fire later on. I don't know. But it hasn't looked good so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if you have Matthew Stafford in this game, I hate to look back and say, oh, if we had this guy or this guy, whatever. But if you have Matthew Stafford, I think we legitimately smashed the Minnesota Vikings today of how our defense was playing. I think we killed them.
Yeah.
Just put Matthew Stafford at quarterback. Keep the same exact roster. Just put Stafford instead of Goff. I think you smashed the Vikings today.
Yeah. I agree. It's tough. It's tough when you have, the defense is not really they're not supposed to be your strength, you know, but that's the strength of this team, and it's like I don't know how much the defense could carry us. And keep us in the games like this. Like, this was the Lions' opportunity here to take a win. Mm-hmm. But our offense just hasn't been good.
I guess, looking at the positive and looking at the big picture, the nice thing is, too, like, you're getting these defensive performances, not from, like, just veterans that are here on one-year deals and they're going to be out the doors next year. You're getting these performances from guys that have some long-term, ability. Like, Levi Onwuzurike had a pretty solid game, in my opinion. Lee McNeil had a pretty solid game. Yeah. You look at some of these DBs. We mentioned Jerry Jacobs. We mentioned Amani Awarie. You know, obviously there was some guys like veterans that made an impact in this game. Charles Harris, but I think Charles Harris is another guy we have to mention. I've been saying this for the last 2 weeks now. I think Charles Harris is a guy we have to mention. Maybe he deserves another contract if he continues to do what he's doing so far this season. He's been really good for this Lions team.
Yeah, he's really on pace for 17 sacks.
Which obviously probably won't happen, but
you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. But he's been really good for this football team. He just came in with the chip on his shoulder. He's been very good. I think Charles Harris is what some Lions fans expected Jared Goff to be. Come in with the chip on your shoulder and try to prove some haters wrong. I think Charles Harris has been more of that than Jared Goff has so far.
Yeah. And one's making like north of 30 mil, and the other one's making like, what, like a mil or two?
Maybe. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If Charles Harris somehow pulls off a 11 or 12 sack season, and you know, once you hit those double digits, you kind of command some money. Do you think the Lions should still pay him?
I mean, we'll see there. We still have a whole season to play this whole
season. It depends where we are. Like, I don't know.
Depends how much money he's commanding.
Well, like another 16?
I mean, if you had the number one pick, like this is true, if you had the number one pick, I think you take the guy out of Oregon instead of paying Charles Harris, right? Like, I don't know.
No, I agree with that. But if you could keep Charles Harris as a rotational piece in an affordable contract, I am all in. I don't know, but I'm not paying him big bucks, though.
Yeah, I'm in on that, too. I don't think he's a starter. Yeah. Like, I don't think he's, like,
I think he's a very good rotational starter, a very good rotational piece.
Kind of like your George Johnson. Harris. You remember him?
Yeah, I like George Johnson. It's a good comparison. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe if he continues this pace, some team will overpay for him. That's possible. I wouldn't be completely shocked by that. But if you could keep him around as a nice rotational piece, I'm completely down with that.
Yep.
But, you know, overall, I give a lot of credit to the Lions team today, man. This was a team, like we mentioned, was just not, you know, I wasn't even excited coming to the game today, but they made this game super exciting. Came down to the last play of the game. You know, they put it all. They put it on the line. And I think something we have to talk about really quickly, I know we're not a Vikings pod, but the Vikings stink as well. I mean, they are terrible.
They were a field goal away from probably everybody being fired.
You know what I don't get with them? They abandoned. They stopped going to Justin Jefferson when Detroit couldn't stop them all day. I didn't get that at all. Like, I think you have to keep your foot on the pedal.
I couldn't tell if that was the Lions. Yeah. I couldn't tell if that was the Lions maybe adjusting to Justin Jefferson or if that was the Vikings just kind of abandoning Justin Jefferson. I couldn't tell that, honestly. Yeah, I thought I was trying to give credit to the Lions.
Yeah, I think they did a good job just covering him and taking him out the game the second half.
Mm-hmm. No, but like the Vikings started going back to the run game, though. They didn't really pass it as much.
Even when they did start passing, they didn't target Jefferson.
I don't know.
But I will say, I think this was Dan Campbell's best coached game overall. I just think it was very smart. Wasn't too aggressive. I mean, it was aggressive, but not reckless. You know, it was a good and aggressive. The 2-point conversion, maybe I have my different thoughts on that. But overall, I think it was a good, you know, not a reckless game plan by Dan Campbell. He stuck to his guns.
I love this too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I understand that a little bit more. But, you know, at the 4th-and-2, I was fine with him kicking it. Trusting your best player in your team, your punter, who's been pinning, you know, teams all day, every game so far. It was just a bad bounce. He had a touchback. But, you know, I was completely fine with not going for that 4th-and-2 and, you know, punting the ball away and trusting that Lions defense. Because, like I said, that was attempt number 4 number or 5 for Jared Goff at that point. There's a certain point where how much am I going to put – like, how much trust could I put in him to finally give me a first down and get me into the end zone? He obviously wasn't doing it. So you can't be – you know, I can't be mad with Dan Campbell on that decision right there.
Right.
Okay. You guys got anything else to add? We can get some callers in here or.
Yeah, you can bring somebody. You can bring somebody up. Anybody want to share their thoughts of their game? If anybody is, if they're upset, they want to rant for a little bit or not, give the coaching staff some props.
We got Simba. We got somebody. What's up, Mike?
What's up, fellas?
Mike?
What's going on? Hey, man, real quick.
I'll get you in a second, David.
Real quick, guys. I kind of want to ask you guys a few questions. You know, when they initially made the trade with Goff, you know, when they went through the whole process and they went through the trade process, obviously they wanted to get Stafford to where he wanted to go, but you've seen that offer that they had from Carolina. I think that one of the things that I'm struggling with most is I actually think that this team, and again, this has been one of the better seasons. If you can read some of my comments, I mean, this team's playing really hard. They're losing, but they're playing really hard and they're showing some good signs. Like today was a really good day. We've seen McNeil. We've seen Ozariki play. We're seeing some guys starting to contribute that are young. And they finally started to play Tracy Walker. We talked about that last week. They took him off for half the game. We don't know why. And today they played him the whole game and he played really well. But I think that one of the things that I'm trying to understand is, and I want your guys' opinion. I mean, I think that this general, because you got to remember, this is the general management team that drafted Goff. So they know him better than anybody. And they made that trade, I believe, not for Matthew Stafford, but more because they believe in Goff. I'm really scared that these guys really believe in this guy because he is terrible. And I can't see them winning with this guy at all.
Mike, do you think? The reason why they took on that Goff contract, they got an extra one out of it and an extra three out of it. Like, they got two ones and a three, and they had to take that contract back to fit with Stafford, to fit Stafford on the books in L.A.
Yeah, but Pierre, I mean, would you rather have the 30th and 31st pick, or would you rather have the 8th pick?
That's like, I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, come on, these are late. They're going to be late first round picks. I mean, this team is so deprived of primetime players. I don't know how you make that trade, because if I was to trade you the 31st pick this year and the 30th pick next year, would you trade me the 8th pick? You probably wouldn't. You know,
it's a tough decision, but it's a tough decision because they have so many needs on this team. It's not like you're one or two needs away. And I understand top 10 picks are very luxury picks and they're very hard to get. Right. So I understand, you know, some people would take the Panthers offer. And I think that's fair. I think bringing in Goff was just to see what he could do, because I think their thought process is we'll take two first round picks. And maybe we get our franchise quarterback out of this. Obviously, we've seen it these first 5 weeks. I think we're all believers that Jared Goff is not the franchise quarterback. But they had an open trial with the quarterback, potentially could fill that void in, and two first-round picks. I understand what you're saying with the Carolina Panthers, though.
But you think about it. These are the guys who drafted him, right? I mean, yeah. So if he's a boss, it's more indicative on them as well, because this is the group that drafted him. And if he was in charge of college scouting,
and maybe they brought him in, and maybe they brought him in to prove that, you know, we could fix Jared Goff, which is obviously not the case right now. I mean, it's tough. It's a really tough situation right now with you know, you got two first round picks. I think we should still be content with those two first round picks.
Remember, we have to watch him next year because they restructured the deal to where he's basically uncuttable next year.
That's fine, because like, if you have a rookie quarterback, say you draft a rookie this year, the rookie class not that strong, but say they draft a rookie, they don't have to throw him in there. They could sit him a little, learn behind Goff, just sit, learn a little, and then you unleash him the following year.
Yeah, but now we're talking
about this is a rebuild, bro. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, now we're talking about a 3 year. This team's gonna be shitty for 3 years.
This is a rebuild. That's how rebuilds work. Look at the Niners.
This is a rebuild, man.
I agree with you guys, but I mean, you're talking about breaking in a rookie quarterback on the third year.
Well, look, bro. There's no quarterback right now, in my opinion, that's like a Trevor Lawrence or like that's like.
I know, but let me ask you a question. When have you ever seen that NFL history where they've gotten the third year they restarted on quarterback
in the any Niners. Regime? And the when? Niners.
Well, it doesn't even have to be a rookie quarterback. It could be like a Panther situation where Sam Darnold hits the market and they trade for somebody. Or the Rams, they trade for Matthew Stafford. Like, there's going to be quarterbacks on the market as well. Mm-hmm. If they don't believe in a rookie, they could always trade for one as well. That's, you know, for a veteran quarterback that they maybe believe in.
I mean, you got to look at it this way. Do you want to throw a rookie quarterback in this line situation right now?
I think that you have no choice but to play. The faster you play a rookie quarterback, the faster this turnaround comes about. I don't think that there's anybody. I know they got 6 year deals, but if you look at back in NFL history, when has a regime on its third year drafted a quarterback and started a rookie first year quarterback and then survived? If you look at every new regime, they're starting with a new quarterback. I'm just telling you that this smells to me like these guys are, I mean, are really like this kid. And I'm scared of that.
This is the thing right now. All those other regimes you're talking about had never been in a Detroit Lions situation. What regime right now, what team right now has been in a Detroit Lions situation? Detroit Lions are so bad.
The Bengals.
They're not even as bad as the Detroit Lions.
There's a lot of bad teams in NFL history.
The thing is, like, you got the Bengals. I mean, you could say, I mean, they didn't have as many holes as the Lions right now. I'm okay with fixing everything around us first, maybe fix our, you know, they did a good job fixing the offensive line. You know, get your pass rush in there, get a premier pass rusher. I don't mind fixing the team first and then insert a quarterback later on. I don't mind that. It is what it is. I mean, even if you have to, a guy has a market and we get a guy or a rookie comes in, I don't mind that. But I'm okay with
what about the rebuild, Deshaun Watson? Like, what about Deshaun Watson next year? Something like that. I could.
Watson has a no trade clause in his contract.
Yeah, exactly. He has a no trade clause, and
he also has issues. He has issues off the field, so I don't know if the Lions would want that.
I just.
Well, I'm saying if he clears his allegation, they should definitely have a call.
Yeah.
If
he clears allegation, like he's cleared and he's not guilty. Sure.
So you guys are okay with Watson? You guys are okay with giving all your first round picks for Watson? Because I think he didn't get four.
No, I'm saying Deshaun Watson's trade value is a lot lower now too.
You guys, a lot lower.
As of right now, it is. Yes.
What do you mean? I'm talking about if he clears the allegation. I don't think
he's
going to
clear those
lower.
Allegations, man. I mean, it would be over by now if it was going to be something serious. And number
two,
I'm
not going to say
Malcolm,
he's going to clear those allegations because we don't know. So I wouldn't say that.
We don't know.
First-round picks don't mean much, man. Those are going to be late first-round picks.
It doesn't matter.
In the NFL, first-round picks are first-round picks.
Man.
Lamar Jackson was a 32nd pick, bro. Derek Carr was taken in the second round.
Exactly. This team right now, if we don't have any first round picks, and you're saying, all right, let's use all of our first round picks, get Deshaun Watson, and figure it out.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when you look at what this team has done, and you look at the history with Goff, and you look who drafted him, and you looked at the fact that, you know what's going to happen, right? They didn't support him this year. And we talked about this specifically, Pierre, earlier in the preseason when we talked about how bad the receivers were. And I remember Lee and a couple other guys saying, oh, my God, we got this guy and we got that guy. And I said, listen, they're going to give Goff a free pass because they're not building around him. They're going to give him put shitty support around him. And they're basically going to say, okay, well, we didn't give him much support. I'm just looking at this team now, and I think we got another year for sure of Goff, and then maybe even a third year. Can you guys stomach another 2 years of this guy after this year?
Yeah, because we're going through
a I don't know. No, 2023, they should absolutely have a new quarterback.
Yeah, 2022 should be a new quarterback. But next year, we could
by 2023.
It's not like
– By 2023, you absolutely should have a new quarterback on your center. No question.
And I'll let you guys go with this. He's 0-16 when Sean McVay is not his head coach. 0-16.
I'm not a believer in Goff. I believe every
dude.
Bad
we don't
think about
Jared Goff. Like we're saying Goff's our franchise quarterback.
Yeah, we're not.
The Lions are rebuilding, and there isn't like a Joe Burrow. There isn't a Trevor Lawrence. There isn't a Zach Wilson, a Trey Lance they could take right now. Like Malik Willis, he's good, but he threw three picks against Middle Tennessee yesterday. So I don't know which quarterback he's
hit. You're right.
Who do you want? Like, who do you want as our quarterback next season?
Like, you can't just go. Just who do you
pick? Spencer Rattler?
I think Deshaun Watson. I think Deshaun.
He's not
Watson
coming here. He has a no trade clause. He's not.
Don't even get your hopes up trying to get think of. Don't even put that in your mind to get your hopes up thinking that we have a shot at Deshaun Watson. It's not. That's not going to happen.
There's no chance at Deshaun Watson.
That man has a no trade clause, so he pretty much gets a pick where he wants to go. And for him to say, okay. At all the teams I want me, I'm going to pick the Detroit Lions, who are rebuilding right now. I think he's going to want to go to a winner, a team that's a quarterback away
to win. Man. I mean, you guys got to flip the draft here soon because you guys are going to lose a bunch of fans. This team's going 0-9 at least, and it's like maybe even 0-10. Real quick before I drop, what do you guys think the record's going to be now? Do you think they win two games? I mean, is the over-under two more games?
I don't know.
I mean, they almost won today.
They should have won two games already. I mean, yeah, I can
two, three
games.
No, the rest of the season. Do you think they'll win two games? I mean, do you think this team will finish 2-15?
It's a week-by-week process. It's a week-to-week process.
Look at this week. So we came in this week thinking, oh, shit, the Lions had no chance. We're going to get killed. They should have won this game. So
Minnesota's 1-3,
I get their 1-3. I get their 1-3, but we play that same 1-3 team again.
Yeah, but they
dominated. We played them again. So,
I know, but they dominated the whole game except for the last 90 seconds.
Did they dominate the whole game? They put up one touchdown, two touchdowns?
They had 0 points in the whole second half.
I don't think that's dominating, man.
The first half, maybe, but I wouldn't even say that.
Outside of the last 90 seconds, do you think they had a chance of winning?
No. I did not. But that's the NFL. The NFL changes like just like this. It changes that. It changes right away.
I would call that as dominating the whole game then. If they you thought the whole game unless the last 90 seconds, you didn't think they were going to win.
No, if they're dominating, that means they wouldn't even have a chance.
There's been a lot of Lions games that I thought we were winning and then we lost in the last 90 seconds.
Dominating is like 40-0. Score 24-0.
Yeah,
no, that's dominating.
Dominating is what the Niners did to us in the first half.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's dominating. That's dominating. That's dominating.
Scoring one touchdown and a field goal. What? No, did they even score a touchdown in the first half?
The Lions?
No, I'm talking about the Vikings.
Yeah, they scored a touchdown.
They scored one touchdown in the first half.
13-6. That was it.
And they didn't score any touchdowns in the second half. They didn't score any touchdowns. That's not dominating. They won the game.
Neither did we till the last, last couple of plays of the game. So
nobody dominated. It was a hard fought battle. It was a hard fought battle.
It was a very close game.
There doesn't have to be someone dominating in a game to there doesn't have to be one domination in one game. It was a hard fought battle, all game.
Minnesota can. We just agree to disagree. But thanks, guys. Listen, Minnesota dominated that whole game except for the last 90 seconds. I mean, they controlled, not dominated.
All right.
Come on.
Okay, Mike. Thank you for joining.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that took a little longer, but it was appropriate. I like the little, the different opinion. So I was. Thank you, Mike, for joining. I appreciate it. I'm not saying that just to be petty. No, I really appreciate you joining. That was. I like to agree to disagree. So, okay. I think with that, we're a little past our time right now. Sorry, David. I know you want to request, but we're a little past our time right now, so we're gonna end this right here.
I was gonna say, if he wants to come up, let him come up for a bit.
You want to do it?
Go ahead, man.
Okay.
What's up, Dave?
David?
Hey, what's up, y'all?
What's going on, Dave?
Oh, so I gotta disagree with Mike there. There was no domination whatsoever. That was a hard-fought defensive battle on both sides.
Yeah, I agree.
But I told y'all, Derek Barnes is the truth.
He had one blown-ass
play on that Madison long-ass
exactly
run.
Derek Barnes would just be called the truth.
Dude, he was covering up that middle.
I thought he was up and down.
Yeah, he had his up and
down. He's a rookie.
He's a rookie, yeah. But it's
he had that blown-ass tackle on Madison's huge run.
Those are plays you have to make, though, when you're in the game.
Yeah. That's a rookie mistake. He won't make it again. But, no, I want to talk about, Goff. Dude, he is not it.
No, he's not.
Not it at all. And it's just going to get worse. Now that Cephas is out, man, he ain't got no receivers. Amon-Ra did all right, but Goff is set up to fail here, and it's going to be the excuse to give him more time.
No, I don't think it's – the receivers are not good, but he just hasn't – his decision-making is not good. Forget the receivers. Even with L.A.,
I agree.
He had turnovers, bro. His decision-making is just bad.
Yeah, no, he's not it, at all. He gets pressured and locks on, and, he didn't see Kendricks in the middle there. I could see him dropping and was yelling at my TV the entire time. No, and there it goes.
Yeah.
See, I'm not under any impression right now that this staff is just in love with Jared Goff. They're going to give him as much time as possible. I think they see what we see, guys. I really do. I mean, unless I see otherwise, where they don't make an attempt to go for another quarterback or we're talking about more later down the line. I'm not saying right now, obviously, but I'm just not under any impression right now that the Lions are in love with Jared Goff. They're going to give him as much time as possible to figure it out. He's got this year. We know that. And he probably got next year. We know that. If he's the quarterback in 2023, then I'll hit the panic button and I'll agree with all you guys there. But I'm just not under any impression right now.
So, I don't think this coaching staff is like the previous coaching staff where they were just really stubborn. This coaching staff, they see what we see. And they're quick to make adjustments. Look, this week we didn't see Bobby Price on defense. And that contributed to the defense playing a lot better. So, I don't see them looking at this and wow, Jared Goff, you're making great decisions in these games. Even with these bad receivers, you're still making great decisions. So we're going to give you more time. It's not the receivers that's the issue. It's been Jared Goff, and I'm pretty sure they see that. I don't think, even though Brad Holmes, wanted Jared Goff when he was with the Rams, and, was probably excited when he came here. to give him a second opportunity. But even Brad Holmes is seeing what we're seeing. And everybody's seeing what we're seeing. It hasn't been good. It hasn't been good so far.
So do you guys think? You guys think?
Yeah, and
Goff is going to be our 22 Dalton, for the Bears and Fields this year.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's if they draft somebody, which there's no guarantee they do that.
This college quarterbacks hasn't been looking terrific either. So I don't even know right now.
Yeah, that's the problem.
With Baker.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen and Lamar and those guys were coming out.
Taylor.
I think Deshaun was like the only one, and like Mitch Trubisky. That class has looked pretty good, and we said that wasn't really a strong class coming out either. So,
yeah, I mean, it's hard to say that this class is going to be good or bad. We'll see as the coaches gets closer. I mean, as it gets closer to the draft, we'll have more names definitive, in the quarterback race. I mean, there's going to be someone. There's always somebody. So,
we'll
see. And one last thing. I agree with the taking the Rams deal over the Panthers deal, because we have 7 and 8 this year. We got nothing else on the future. At least this way we got two more future firsts, and the brand new staff can see what they're working with here this year and formulate a game plan going forward, as opposed to blowing their load with two first round picks this year and nothing for the future.
I agree with you, David, because now you're given your flexibility. You got to watch the season and see your holes now, where this year you would have had the 7th, 8th pick, which is great, but you're building off what you think is going to be the product on the field. But now, let's say if you do have the number 8 pick, who are the Lions going to take? Would they have taken a quarterback? I don't believe so. I think the whole impression was
that they
took off an opportunity.
Yeah.
I think if
but now you've
was
seen,
there, they would have taken him, but he wasn't there.
Yeah, maybe. But now you've seen what Jared Goff is. I think we're assuming enough, but we think they see what we see, and that he's just not the guy, and that they're going to move on off him.
Hey.
I don't know. David, like I said, if he's the starting quarterback in 2023, I'll hit the panic button with you. But as
I don't know
why
I
can't panic right now.
Today?
Oh, I won't panic about it. Because I guarantee he's it next year too. We're stuck with him,
and that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay for him to start next year.
Yeah, it was 4th and 2, right? They punted. They don't even trust him sometimes. That's not franchise quarterback material.
You should punt on 4th and 2.
Well, the way our defense was playing, I totally am behind that 4th and 2.
No, but even like the 3rd and 5s, right? Like all the passes were behind the sticks. Were behind the first down sticks.
Yeah.
They don't trust him.
I think it's not trusting himself. He's just not throwing. They have like receivers that's out there, but
they have guys past the line.
He just throws it. He likes those out routes. You notice that? It's like he loves. I think they install an out route on every single play.
And I think defenses are like Breland. I mean, you should have had that, but like teams are noticing that too. The Eric Kendricks play. He bit on that play and he threw a pick. Like when you check down a lot and throw short, teams are gonna just play soft zones and like dare you to throw it deep.
So the play that sealed it for me this game, that Goff isn't it, was that throw to Raymond that should have been an interception. Because a better quarterback puts that 4 yards further. Raymond's got a step and a half on both of those safeties. Raymond has a touchdown if Goff puts some more underneath that ball instead of moonballing it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I personally wouldn't throw that.
Double
he's
coverage.
Like 5'9" or 5'8".
It was just a bad decision.
Whatever he is.
Well,
he held it
like a half second too long.
I mean, Hodge isn't even out there. He's throwing to a guy who's like 5'9", right?
But Raymond's got fucking speed, man.
No, he got speed, but when you throw a jump ball, you don't throw it to a dude who's 5'9". You throw it to a dude who's like 6'2" or 6'3".
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like Cleve Raymond had the separation, that's different.
He needs a couple more yards on that ball. He gets another 2 or 3 yards on that ball. Raymond has steps on both those dudes. He drops it in the bucket like you see 90% of NFL quarterbacks do. That's touchdown.
Yeah,
Raymond had sets on both of those safeties.
I mean, Harrison Smith was right there.
Harrison Smith is right there. Go look at the tape again. Harrison Smith is right there because Raymond has to slow up to try and catch that ball. If you look at it.
I have to watch it again.
Yeah,
I have to watch
it
again.
You look at that far pull. They showed it on the replay. If you look at it on that far pull out, he's got like two steps on them, dude, step and a half at least, and he slows up to try and catch that ball. So Goff either needs to recognize and throw earlier, or he needs to put more under it and not moonball it as much.
Do you think he has Russell Wilson. I don't know if he has that arm strength to like
that's what I'm saying. He needs to throw it
that far.
If he throws it a step earlier, if he recognizes it and throws it a beat earlier, that's a touchdown.
Probably, yeah.
Because Raymond had to slow up to get that.
I don't know.
All right. Thank you, David, for joining us.
Yes, sir.
All right. Take care, man.
Yeah, I'll see you all next week.
All right, David. Thanks.
All right. Okay, guys. With that being said, that is going to be a wrap to this Spotify Greener. Hope you guys all enjoyed. We will be back tomorrow recording our post-game video, our post-game reaction to the Lions-Vikings. And then we'll do more of these Spotify Green Rooms on next Sunday before the game and after the game versus the Cincinnati Bengals. So stay tuned for that. And thank you guys for all hopping on and, you know, contributing to the call. It's always much appreciated. And leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. I'm out.
All right, y'all. It's your boy Malcolm, and I'm out. Peace.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.